So let's learn. Rabbi, let's learn. We are on Mizmor. I'm putting over here on mute and online. Okay. We're on over here. Okay, we are on page 384. We went to the Pesukim. We did Rashi. We spent time on Rashi. And we spent time on... We went to the basic ideas, but I want to just mention one... We did one Maimar Chazal about Nisuch HaMayim. Even though this pasuk Ches, the Pshuta Shel Mikra is discussing tzoros. Klal Yisrael is going to suffer many tzoros. David says, "Tohoim el tohoim korei l'kol tzinerecha," which we learned according to Rashi and the Mitzvot, is that the Klal Yisrael, the Tanz of Golus, they suffer difficulties, and the word tohoim is a metaphor for the difficulties, the great depths. The depth means, so just like the water, there's just no end. The complexity of the issues are so great, they are overwhelming. And when we finally think that we have a handle on a problem, all of a sudden, there's a new problem on the horizon. Tohoim el tohoim korei, and we call it sinurecha, the sound of the roar, kol mishparecha v'galecha lai avaru, the waves, these massive waves which appear to come and crash upon us. We see them on the horizon, and it is a very frightening description of the frame of mind that Klal Yisrael, the neshama of Klal Yisrael, finds themselves in Golus. In Golus already since Tachum Bayisheni for 1,954 years, and the difficulties of 53 years. The year 70 was the Chum Bayisheni. 2020 coming soon to 2023, so 1,552 years, 1,952. Coming to 1953, we assume that the Churban took place in the year 70, and the truth is the Bayis Sheni was never really a full Geula. The Tekufa of the Bayis Sheni for 420 years, and the 70 years before that, was no picnic either. There were always times, there were very difficult times there as well, and this Pasuk Ches is a very powerful expression describing the mindset of the neshama of Klal Yisrael, how they deal and they look with the situation, they find themselves in the years of Golus. On the other hand, what is very interesting, and this is a commentary on Tanakh itself, we take the same very pasuk and we use it to describe the greatest joy, the most joyous moment of Klal Yisrael, of the year. Simchas HaShoeva. Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkos, Chazal said they didn't sleep. Those who are learning Masechta Nedarim know that if a person makes a Shavua, that he will not sleep. So it's a Shavua Shav. Good morning. It's a Shavua Shav. We want to welcome the president of the Young Israel of Midwood, David Stern. We want to thank you for your hospitality, Parshas Vayera. It is the Parsha of Hachnos HaSarach, and you host the Shir. Good morning, Kolal. We are appreciative. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's no clinic, Rabbi. So the shul is Isaac and Chesed the whole day. David Stern. This shul is a tremendous chus. Could you imagine? Where do you have such a thing in the world? Rent free. They host learning here the entire day. There are two daf yomis here in the morning. And then there's davening, then there's the morning kollel. There used to be a kollel here the whole afternoon. Unfortunately, COVID, and then they first moved to Rabbi Binyamin Cohn, but then they left here because that wasn't so ideal for them. And now they're Rabbi Schmidman. And now Rabbi Schmidman Shul. It's a very chashuv kollel.
Wasn't good for the kollel to be mentioned with the Young Israel.
No, that's not the reason. They loved it here. This was the perfect place. The reason why was because the shul, rightfully so, at the time, they would not allow them to come unless they wore masks. It was during the beginning of Kolo, and the people in the Kolo, they couldn't keep that.
I asked somebody on the east side once, when they davened, they said, "Tirei." I said, "You mean the Young Israel, right? That's what Tirei Yisrael, that's what it was called." They said, "It's just the Hebrew word for the Young Israel."
They went place to place. They went one place. Now they're at our Schmidman Shul. So very chashuv kol. It's only for Rebbeim. You have to be a Rebbe, and you have to, and you prepare your shiurim there. And I'm telling you, it's a serious place. You go there in the afternoon, it's scary. It's a serious place.
Very. I remember when they were here.
They were here. Yeah. And then COVID came, they were nowhere. And then when the time to come back, so the shul, the people over here in the shul passed away from COVID. It was a sakonis nefashis. And sitting for 3 hours, you know, the call is you have to be for 3 hours. It was very hard for them to adhere to a rule. And the shul has all the right to do so, 100%. You have to wear a mask. So during that time, it was not so easy for people, everyone, to wear a mask for 3 hours in the back room here. So they went to a more spacious place. They went to a Binyamin Kohn. It's a massive, massive place. But then they did construction, and it got a little... So they ended up, the whole thing, they would probably have come back here. But they ended up after the older Golis, going from place to place for different reasons, in the Reshnidmin Shul. And once they're there now, they're staying put for the meantime. And in any event, so yeah, they're learning at night. You see what goes on here at night? They have for children. Boys who need a little help, they have a program, Lahav. And the shul, as far as I know, doesn't charge them any rent. They have here in this shul, mamish, learning the whole day. Mehashmeidus, Abayker, Abba Erev, rent-free. I mean, it's incredible, and they're very proud, the president and the people who run the shul here, they're very proud to be able to host a Malkin of Torah. People should be learning, and that's what they want the shul to be.
Thursday night, they have Rabbi Friend.
They're Rabbi Friend, used to have Herschel Schachter. COVID shook up a lot of things, but yeah, it's an incredible schus, and they do it graciously. As far as I know, they don't charge any money, because that's what the shul is for, and that's an incredible, incredible schus.
Thinking about Rabbi Levine in the morning to turn the week.
I said that.
We said the morning kolo. It's not me, it's you. It's not me, it's you. It's the people who come to us. This shul, we just went through the whole Seder Hayim of this shul. This shul, they have learning it the whole day.
Yeah.
And they have davening also.
Davening also, three, four, five times a day. Haven't even done it.
You know,
like the Muslims, they daven five times a day. Okay, let's get back. Okay, I think there's a very powerful commentary on this. Let's just look at the Medrash. We'll bring out this point. Put over here, it says, Pasachas. Okay, on the bottom of the page, the very bottom page, 384, on the very bottom of the page, in Likutei Shas. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Kishe Menaschin Esamayim Bechog. When they would do Nisuch HaMayim, they would pour the water from the Shiloyach on the Mizbeach. Tohoim Omer Lachaveroid. What does it mean, the Tohoim? It means one body of water says to the other. The water from the Shiloyach represents the Mayim. The brackets, it is Mayim Hu Elyoinim LaMayim HaTachtoinim. Abba is means, it's an Aramaic word which means send forth. In the brackets, the editor translates it Hazerem Hazerem Vehalei Esmimecha. I think it's Hazrem. I think there's a mistake in the Nikwa. It means Hazrem, like a Zerem, which is a
flow.
A flow, but it's not. It's not only the Nikwa that's correct. It's Hazrem. Send forth. Flow forth. It's a command. A command.
You have Zerim Bora. In one and a half Torahs, you have the phrase Zerim Bora.
Zerim is a flow.
Like
but here, it's like a command. Yeah. Abba, which he translates here, I don't know how the Nikud got messed up here. Hazrem Veha'alei Es Meimecha.
Yeah,
bring forth your water. It's a command. I command you to bring forth your water. Why? Mibnei Shekol Shnei Reim. The two good friends. What are the two good friends? We have something in common. We're both water. Shnei hanisachim shomayim v'yayin. Well, over here there's another liquid that's yayin as well. Ani shomayim nishpachim el hamizbeach. There's really a third. There's a third partner in this. That's the yayin, the nisachim, the libations, wine that you pour in the mizbeach. L'mayim shenemar. Let's put it here. So the tzinurecha here are there tubes, there are pipes, and indeed on the top of the mizbeach there are two basins. You look at a good picture. You look at a picture. An illustration of the mizbeach. On the very top of the mizbeach, there are two openings, and I'm getting confused. The bottom, not on the top, but the bottom of the Mizbeach. There are two openings. There are two openings where they
would. They pour it in, and the wine is wider, the opening, than the water, so that they go down the same.
They go down the same speed, because water goes down. Water is very thin, and wine is thick, and you want them to go down at the same time. And there's a lot of different descriptions, but generally, every single carbon is accompanied by what is called in English libations. Hebrew nisachim, you pour wine on the mizbeach.
Water is only on
sukkahs. Water is only on sukkahs. And there are two tubes. On the bottom of the mizbeach, on the yesod, on the foundation, there are two openings. The openings were decorated with like a container where you would pour the liquid. So on one was one opening was designated for wine. An enormous amount of wine was poured down this tube, and the other one was dedicated for water. Water was only poured there, as Rav Mordechai mentioned, only on Sukkot at the ceremony of Nisuch HaMayim. When did Nisuch HaMayim take place? It's a very big machlokes in the Mishnayos. It's in the Mishnayos, the Masechet Sukkah, the end of Masechet Sukkah. There are different opinions if Nisuch HaMayim took place every single day of Sukkot, or did it only take place on Chol HaMoed? Did it take place on Shemini Atzeres? I do not remember all of the details, but there's a few opinions as to which days of the 8 days of Sukkot did Nisuch HaMayim take place. Did it take place all of the days, some of the days? Did it take place on Shabbos, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, Shabbos Yom Tov? Did it take place on Shemini Atzeres? There are different opinions as to when it took place, but there's certainly no question about it. It did happen on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. They would pour water from the Shiloyach down on the Mizbeach, on the Yesoid of the Mizbeach in this basin, which had a tube, and the tube went all the way down to the sheets and all the way down, deep, deep down in the earth. Now, most of the year, every single day of the year for that matter, every single carbon was accompanied by the pouring of wine. The wine eventually would congeal. The wine eventually, they would pour so much wine, it would congeal, and sometimes the pipes, this tube that was used to pour the water, was clogged. So they would send down the young, the Pirchei Kohuna, the daring young Kohanim, who were very adventurous, and they would somehow, it was built into the underground of the Beis HaMikdash, some type of cavity where they could descend, and they would clean it out. They would go down there, and they would scrape out the congealed yayin that collected from the pouring of all of the Nesachim, which took place the entire year. This congealed yayin, what did they do with it? They would sell it. They would keep it. It was theirs for the keeping, for the Kohanim. You'll ask the question, oh, but it's Kodesh. It has sanctity. It was dedicated for the Beis HaMikdash. It's part of the Karban. Yeah, you're not allowed to be Nene. Oh, so the answer of Mordechai says, Nasa Mitzvah, a very important halach principle, that anything that after you do its requirement, Nasa Mitzvah, and once the Mitzvah has been done, then the Kedusha departs. It's a very fascinating concept. You don't ordinarily say that. What you're going to say that if you wear a pair of tefillin and you wear it out, and no longer is spiritual and kosher, you can just take the tefillin and do with it whatever you want. A Sefer Torah Shabbalah, you have to bury it. It has sanctity. It doesn't just disappear. You don't just say that once you've used it, you've consumed it. It's it's consumed, it's done its purpose, it's done its mission, and now its sanctity is no longer, and you can do with it whatever you want. How do you reconcile that principle with the general concept that something that is dedicated for a mitzvah and it's no longer functional because it's worn
like
out?
Nasa
mitzvah. So it's what to do with the ash, the trumas, the deshen. So also the deshen is the same thing. The deshen was taken out, was carted away. Was carted away. Where was it carted to? There must have been an enormous number of carbonates over the time of history. They've done digs and they've done laboratory experiments, carbon dating, and they say it's in Geula. They say the place where they brought the ash of the carbonos that was carted out and shipped out, it was sent off to Geula. In the neighborhood where they say that where Mir Yeshiva is today, all those buildings, they have a whole network of buildings. In that neighborhood, they've dug up the ground and they've discovered ash well, I mean, it's been a long time. It's been 1,952 years since the Churban, so I don't know exactly what remains from such a long period of time, but whatever they were able to dig up, and they've sent it to laboratories, and they've done a lot of extensive testing, and some, I don't know if it's true or not, they want to claim that the neighborhood where Mir Yeshiva is in Eretz Yisrael today, that neighborhood, it's very congested. It's a very congested neighborhood. That area is where they would ship out the Trumas Hadeshen, the Deshen. It's amazing. That place became a very heavy place for Torah. All the yeshivas are there. It's a heavy, heavy learning place. It's not a coincidence. That is taka true. Is it really true or not? All of these type of things you can fight about. But it's a good question. Where exactly did the ash?
It says bring to the farms for fertilizer.
Fertilizer, they brought this wine also. You're right, it says they brought the congealed yayin, the congealed wine also, I think, was used as fertilizer. I don't know, there were a lot of things. I don't know,
They made money on it?
What?
They made money on selling it to the farmers?
Could be they did.
Yes.
It could be they did. Absolutely. Need parnasa. Amcha Yisrael Tzrichin Parnasa. You can make money off anything. And you name it. You can make money off it. And they needed this that went down, they poured down these pipes. When they poured down these pipes, this yayin, it congealed. They had to every so often clean it out, clean out the pipes, go all the way deep, deep down and clean out the whole cistern that was down there, which collected all of this yayin that congealed, and clean it out to make room for what was coming next. What happened to it? So it says in the Gemara, the Pirchei Kehuna, they got it, and the Kohanim got it, and they sold it. Well, they use it for their own purposes. It was extremely valuable, and there was no prohibition of being well behaved because this principle of a principle which is a halachic principle which needs a lot of understanding to explain nase mitzvasan. What are the parameters? What are the rules? Yesoides of nase mitzvasan. When do you say it? When do you not say it? What are the sources? The big sug. But over here, for our purposes, over here we have, over here it says the word sinarecha, your pipes. And it's very interesting that the pipes, over here there are two pipes. There's the pipe of yayin and the pipe of water. As Mordechai pointed out, that on Sukkos, when they did the Nisach HaMayim only once a year on Sukkos. They did the Nisach HaMayim at the same time that they did the Nisach HaYayin. So the two liquids were being poured down the pipes exactly at the same time. And in order the liquid should flow at the same rate, so because yayin is a bit thicker, okay, we don't really, maybe not so sure we really appreciate what yayin is. Our wine today is almost like water, kemat. There's right. Very, 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 almost no difference. But maybe in time of Chazal, they had a thicker a syrup. The yayin was more like a syrup. I don't know. Oil, it seems, was definitely thicker than it is today, whatever that means. And when they poured the yayin, it went down the pipes. And it says over here, the toy melton korei, the toy, when the mayim that they poured on the mizbeach was the mayim, Tachtoinim, and the Mizbeach represents the Mayim Elyoinim. And when they saw the Tohoim El Tohoim Korei, the Mayim Elyoinim calls out to the Mayim Tachtoinim. There's some conversation, when does this occur? When they're pouring the water on the Mizbeach alongside the Yayin that's been poured down the Tzi Noi Recha. Okay, so this pasuk describes the Nisuch HaMayim. Let's just a little bit before, because we're quickly, then I want to talk about this. There's a lot of repetition over here, some repetition over here. Tanei, the third line, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein lecha tefach shel geshamim shehu yored melamala shein haaretz ma'amala kenegdei shnei tefachim ma'itayma. Okay, this is another general halacha, that when it rains, whenever it rains, when rain comes down from heaven, the water in the earth rises up to tefachim. Now, I'm not sure what this means. We know that when the moon of the water... No. Likutei Shas. Page 384, the verb, the Midrash. I'm reading the Midrash now. On the bottom of 384.
Okay.
On the bottom, the Midrash, up to the third line. This is a separate Midrash, a separate Ma'am Chazal. A new independent Ma'am Chazal that says that whenever it rains and water comes down from Shemayim, the water on the ground, it rises up to greet it. It rises up two tefachim. Tana b'shemini, Allah zo ame incha tefach shel geshamim, one tefach of rain. They always tell you how much rain will fall in inches. They measure rain today in inches. Over here, Chazal measured rain in tefachim. Okay, a tefach is a lot more than an inch. A tefach is four fingers, it's about almost 3 inches, I would say, right? How big is four tefach? About 3-4 inches?
That's the problem with how much is an omelet. Interestingly enough, the old measurement of an omelet, the old Greek measurement of an omelet was 20.67. Omelet was the standard measurement in the secular world. It was Mitzrayim, which was 20.67 inches, which fits in a lot of times with the size of what we call an omelet. Of course, there's a range of 18 to 24. The Egyptian measurement was 20.67 inches.
Interesting. Omelet is from the elbow, the point of the elbow, until the middle finger.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
The middle finger. You do a study. What is the measure from your the point of your elbow all the way up until the middle finger? That is what was an amma, ancient times, between 18 inches and 24 inches. The Chazon Nish, when he says, I think it's a misunderstanding. The Chazon Nish says 24. It's like Rav Moshe. People, they have two. They misunderstand Rav Moshe. They misunderstand Chazon Nish. People say Rav Moshe says that Sei Sakacham is 50 minutes. He never said that. Read the Tshuva. The Tshuva says he says 50 in America. It's already, it's Vaday Tzei Sakechavim after 15 minutes after sunset. That's not what it says.
The original MTJ calendars had 45.
Right, so what Moshe writes in the Shuvah is that when you get to 50 minutes, you can be certain that Tzei Sakechavim has already passed. It's not a defined. Look, Rav Moshe doesn't say, 50 minutes b'diyuk on the second is when it's Tzei Sakechavim. Rav Moshe, I don't know when it is. There's no way to make a determination of when you see three medium stars. There's no way you can make the determination. But if you're already at 50 minutes after sunset, you can be sure that Seis HaKoychavim has already passed. When exactly is the moment when three medium stars are available and can be seen? No one knows. No one knows exactly what the determination is. But by the time it's 50 minutes after sunset, you can be certain that Seis HaKoychavim has already passed. How long ago did it pass? Maybe it passed 5 minutes ago. Maybe it passed 3 minutes ago. Maybe it passed 2 minutes. Maybe it passed 10 minutes ago. I don't know. But by 50 minutes, you could assume it has already passed. The same thing when it comes to an amma. The Chazon Ish doesn't say that an amma is 24 inches. I don't know what it is. But if you're holding at a measurement of 24 inches, you can be certain that it's more than an amma. It's not a matter of, this is exactly what an amma is. It means if you have 24 inches in front of you, you can be certain you have achieved an amma. It could very well be that an amma is 18 inches. Maybe an amma is 20 inches. Maybe it's 22 inches. We don't know. There's no real way to make it.
That can end up being a cooler.
Exactly. That is the nafka mina. That is a nafka mina. Nafka mina is that, let's say you don't want it to be an amma, then you better, exactly, you don't want it to be an amma, so then you have to go the lowest measure of 18 inches. 18 inches is for sure that this indeed may be an amma. It's not a precise number. It is that if you want to be sure that you've passed an amma, 24 inches, but it could very well be that the amma is a lot less than that. And the nafka mina, Dr. Dove is telling us, is if you want on the other extreme to make sure that you're not passed to Tchum, you're not going to walk out more than 2,000 amas. Does the Chazon Ish say that you can rely upon 2,000 amas using an amma of 24 inches? Certainly not. That you have to use an amma of 18 inches,
right,
or maybe even less, to be sure that you don't go past, you don't walk, where you're not allowed to walk.
Okay, now we're actually talking about Tfachim also. As far as Tfachim are concerned, that has, major ramifications for the height of the Mechitza on Shabbos. So 10 Tfachim is the height of the Mechitza on Shabbos. Well, most people hold it has to be, the fence has to be like 36 to 40 inches.
All right, that's a different issue.
The Ramban is what's the purpose of a Mechitza? Not to be able to touch or not to be able to see.
And it does a lot of different things.
We're not talking about mechitza in the shul. I mean, we're talking about
for Shabbos. A mechitza for Shabbos or a mechitza for a sukkah. The height of the mechitza in the sukkah. How tall must the mechitza be in the sukkah? Rishus Hayachid, right, in a chanami. So, didn't the rights, you have to know exactly what is the height, 10 tefachim, a Rishus Hayachid. To make a mechitza.
So
what is 10 tefach? That's very important.
3.6 to 4.0 as the large.
As the shear, exactly. As the shear of a tefach. Okay, but anyway, going back. Tanya Mishim Mela Zoymer Ein Lucha Tefach Shal Gisham Shehu Yorid Milamala Shein Oretz Milamala Milamala Kinegda Shein Oretz Malak Rebaisa, please. Shein Oretz Malak Kinegda Shnei Tvachim My Taimah To Hoi Melto Im Kori Lekol Tzinurecha. What does that mean? So the editor in brackets translates Minatohoim Koyrim Ze Loze La Alois Kasher Him Shoimim Esmei HaGishamim. So the Yishami means says that when it rains, which is the Tohoim in Shamayim, so when the water on this earth gets wind, gets a sense that it's about to rain, so the water on this earth rises up Tohoim El Tohoim to be Mekabel the new rain that is coming. This is the Mekabel that a Chassan is supposed to walk out of the Chuppah to greet the Kala and take the Kala inside. When the Chassan is in the Chuppah, and then the Kala walks down the aisle. So the halacha is the chassan is supposed to leave the chuppah, come out and get her, and carry her under the threshold. You've never seen that under a chuppah, right? Chassan picks up the Kala and carries into the chuppah. Okay, never saw that before. But he's supposed to come out. Many chassan are very shy; they don't want to come out and bring the Kala. But it's very similar to the water. When the Mayim from Shemayim comes down, the Mayim on this world, it rises up to greet the new water that's coming down to this world. Do we find this in the world in science? I don't know. But one thing we do know is that the moon has a major effect on the tide, on the water level, the rise of water. Okay, next it says like we assume so the water split, all water in the water split, later on, okay, then he goes on, let's pass the lessons over because the other Pesukim shouldn't know yet. Okay, but all I want to point out here is one thing. One thing I want to point out is, as we had to mention is, just think of the irony of what the first Medrash. The first Medrash interprets this Pasuk in reference to a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Okay.
Recording in progress.
I have to turn this on because the sound went out. Sorry about that. The internet went out for a few seconds, so we lost connection. Okay, getting back. I just want to point out the irony. This is an important point. The irony of this Maim Chazal. The first Maim Chazal interprets this pasuk Tohoim El Tohoim Koire. Lekol Tzi Noirecha. It refers to the event on Sukkot of Nisuch HaMayim. Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Chazal said, Mi Sheloi Ro'o. Simchas Beis HaShoeva Loi Ro'o Simcha Miyamav. If you did not merit to witness the joy of what took place in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot, when the Talmidei Chachamim would dance. By the way, that dancing was not like our dancing. Today you go to a wedding, everyone dances. By the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you were not allowed to dance. You watched. The only ones who danced were the people who were selected.
They were busy juggling fires.
Doing all different things, but the people that were dancing were people that were hand-picked. You had to be from the Gedolei Hadar to be Zoyche to dance, and everyone came to watch. To watch the people, the Hasidim. There were different types of people, the Hasidim, the Balei Teshuvah, the Zikainim. There were certain people that were designated. I don't know how the system worked, but it's pretty, very clear that there were certain people that would dance and everyone else would stand around and watch. And whoever did not merit to see the Simcha Loiros, Simcha Miyomov. And so we darshan this pasuk in reference to the ultimate Simcha of Klal Yisrael. Yet, the Pshuto Shel Mikra is describing the ultimate Agmas Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. There's probably no pasuk that we've come across so far that describes the mindset of Klal Yisrael in Golos of dealing with the Tzaras. The Tzaras here are described with a very horrific term, Atohoim. Atohoim is unlimited difficulties, the depths that go to no end. And when we finally think that we have a handle on some difficulties, guess what? Tohoim El Tom Kore. There's another problem on the horizon. Rashi's words and the words of the Mitzvah are just literally frightening. how it describes. Look at the mitzvah stuff again. Pasuk Ches, Ritzon Eloimah. The Atah now, Hatzorais Hamerubais Kitohoim, the Tzorais Merubais Kitohoim, Koirei, each one calls out, Kol Echad El Chaveru Lovo Yolai, Ki Ad Shloi Teilecho Achas Tavei Hashenis, Uch Ilu Kodim Zelo Zelovoi. I mean, how much worse can it get? How much worse can it get? Yet the same pasuk that describes those horrific mindset of Klal Yisrael and Galus is describing also, according to the Medrash, the greatest moment of joy. Mi sheloi ra'a simchas beis hashoeva loy ra'a simcha miyamav hayitachein and in a chanami. That's exactly a commentary on the whole Tanakh, is that every single pasuk is multidimensional. And mamish, in one pasuk you can go mikotze el hakotze, from one end to another end, to see over here gefer lechatzaris, and yet mitzad sheni the greatest simcha in the world, and that's even a dogma for the teichacha, okay, the teichacha of parshas lechakosai, parshas kisava. We mentioned many times that it used to be back in the day. I saw this in some different psalm today. It's unheard of, but it used to be that certain rebbes of certain dynasties, the one that would lane the teichacha would be the rebbe, and the chassidim would make their pilgrimage bedafka to be with their rebbe on parshas lechakosai and parshas kisavo, to watch the rebbe be mahapech kilolo lebracha. When the rebbe would read the worst psukim in the Torah that are horrific, somehow the way he would read that pasuk would somehow, there would be a sense of how their rebbe would read into the pasuk bracha, not klala. And to be able to do that, you need to be a towering giant to have that koyach to do such a thing. I always like to tell you that word about v'achaltem b'sar b'nechem uvnoisechem. Okay, so that pasuk is the worst pasuk in the Torah. How could it be that a parent in times of famine will stoop so low to eat the basar of your sons and daughters? Are you talking? V'achaltem. Oh, exactly. V'achaltem b'sar b'nechem. And this in Chazal say, it's l'mala miderech hateva. We study history where there was starvation. We don't find people eating the flesh of their own children. We don't find that.
You move in with the kids and eat what they give you.
Oh, so okay. So we don't find the pshutoy shol mikra means v'achaltem b'sar b'nechem noseichem, and that pasuk can be really the ultimate bracha as well. What does it mean? As this is the famous, just to illustrate one drush, there were two people who came to America in the beginning of the 20th century, and Rahman al-Tzlan, one set of children, they went off the derech, and the others were Moiser Nefesh to be Shemer Torah Mitzvahs, and the two parents or grandparents were now coming to America to the children, and one was complaining to the other that, Rahman al-Tzlan, my children are no longer Shemer Torah Mitzvahs, they don't keep kosher, and they know it's a big problem. And the other one, his children, he was zeichet to incredible bracha, that his children were Moiser Nefesh, and he came there, and he saw everything was perfect, Shabbos and Kashrus, and then he realized va'achaltem, you will, even in the difficult times of Golus, you'll be able to eat the besar, the meat of b'neichem uvnoseichem. We serve you kosher food. You go to your children, and the food is perfectly kosher, no questions. That's an incredible bracha. To have children that are shomer Torah mitzvahs, even in the most difficult times of Jewish history, when it's not so easy and there's a lot of misyoneis, achaltem besar b'nechem u'nasechem. What a bracha! How you talking? This pasuk was pshutoy shel mikra, to literally eat the flesh of your own children, cannibalism, and we know what happened. We have in the Gemara. The Gemara talks many different types of stories. Yet the pasuk can also be the ultimate bracha, that despite the incredible nisyonos of what goes on in this world, you have children who are yirei mushleimim and a meiser nefesh, and when you come to visit, you don't have to ask a question, is the food kosher? Unbelievable. Kachi darka shel Torah. And this pasuk here, again, is another case in point, right in front of our eyes on the same list. I told you now about Chaltem, Besar b'nechem u'nosechem, you have to go find in a Hasidic sefer. You have to go find an inspirational speaker to tell you the story, or to read it in an art school book somewhere. But here in this pasuk, you don't need to do that. Here on the page, pasuk ches, tohoim el tohoim kari l'chol tsi noirecha, mitzudois and Rashi describe the most horrific event, frame of mind that a person can be in life. Just all they do the whole day is deal with problems, and before one problem comes to an end, another problem's on the horizon.
Satan Rebbe in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, to Rebbe Yoel, he made a point of saying that if you want to be frum till the end, you better make sure, you know, a lot of times you say, he's very frum, but I couldn't do, I tried my best with my children, but they're not like I am. If you want to be frum until the end, you better make sure your kids are, because they're going to walk you the last mile. When you're too old to take care of yourself and you have to move in with them, and they're going to feed you, if they're not your standards, how are you going to eat?
The bumper sticker. The classic bumper sticker. Be good to your children. They will choose your nursing home.
Well,
that's the bumper sticker.
Rabbi Wein, in one of his speeches, I told you, he said, very good, when he would have an argument with one of his followers, he says, remember, I'm going to make the Hespit at your Leviathan.
I don't know if it's to mention it. You mentioned one time there was a rabbi in Chicago who was a shechet, and then a Friday night he was locked in a freezer. And
the Aaron Kollel's Rebbe. Rabbi Baruch, he knows the story. Rabbi Baruch, the Ridbaz. Right, he came to America. He was destitute. He came to America to make parnasa.
Slutsk.
Yeah. So he was destitute, and he came to America to make a parnasa. He was mashkiach in Chicago, and they literally tried to murder him. They locked him in the refrigerator. They locked him in no, this past week. It happened this week.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah. Happened this week.
He died. Yeah.
So they found someone.
This is going to be a major problem because there's a law that you can't get locked in your freezer. You have to have a way to get out of the freezer door because of certain things that happened. I remember we had to have all the things because they would pull pranks on people, lock them in the freezer for a joke for a while.
Last week a guy froze.
Yeah, the last week.
And in that freezer, it's not up to code because you're supposed to be able to get out.
They tried to murder him, and the only way he got out was because there was a person that he would always say good night. When he would leave, he would say good evening to a guy, and the person said, he didn't say good evening to me tonight. He didn't say goodbye to me. He's a mensch. He always says good evening, good morning. If he didn't say good evening, he must still be here. And he went to go look for him, and sure enough, he found him. He saved his life, and he realized at that moment in time that in America, They literally, it's Pikuach Nefesh, I think on Shabbos. He took his family, he was Mechal Shabbos, the Pikuach Nefesh, to get out of here. In Chicago, he left Chicago. He left Chicago because he realized they're trying to kill him. Pikuach Nefesh. As he left Chicago.
What was he doing?
Mashkiach. He was there to make a few dollars to be a mashkiach in a meat factory.
No. He came to America because he wrote a Tavish on the Shabbos and he wanted to publish it.
Yeah.
And he had to raise a lot of money. So there was one road in Chicago, a very famous road, and he came to Chicago. So basically they were both recognized as the chief road of Chicago, each form. And they each had any street, and there was whatever. There's problems.
As he left, he was very, very disturbed with the attitude of what was going on in America.
It was made as Zakan HaRabbonu of Agnus Rabbonu who came to America. They gave the title as Zakan HaRabbonu.
What title?
Zakan,
the elder. He was the chief rabbi. And as he left, he made the following statements.
What's the answer to the question? Why did they want to kill him? He's too strict.
No, because he was making trouble. They wanted. They didn't want to follow the chumras.
The butchers and the Chicago is the heart of the meat industry.
Right.
You were all the stockyards.
Yeah,
and they didn't want to.
He was making trouble. Kashrus, you know, there are a lot of chumras, a lot of issues. Okay, but he said, this is how the story goes, and it's a very, very important story for America. The whole America is built on this story, and that is, I don't know what, you don't know what's what, but when he left, he was Rav Aaron Kotler's Rebbe.
Wow.
Okay, Rav Aaron Kohler, I don't know all the details, I don't know, but Rav Aaron Kohler had a lot of, Rav Aaron looked up to him very, very much. That's certain. And when he left, he said, even though, and he was, he left on Shabbos. Yeah. The story goes.
I beg to throw something in. Because Rav Aaron was born in 1891. This happened in 1902. It was not Rav Aaron's Rebbe.
He was not Rav Aaron's Rebbe?
No.
He was a child
okay.
prodigy.
I don't know. Then the way I heard from part of him where I kept it. I don't know. But he had somehow. Rav Aaron, he wasn't his Rebbe, okay? Who's two. But he had influence. And this is how the story goes. Rav Baruch, you have to correct me if I'm saying is not correct. And the story goes that when he left, she left on Shabbos, he ran away out of Pikuach Nefesh with his family, realizing that this America is corrupt, is wicked. Like they say, even in America, even the stones are treif. Yet he said that if 10 people will sit together and learn Torah Lishma, just 10 people will sit in one makom, create a nucleus of intense Torah learning Lishma, it can change the whole America. Be mahapech America to a place of Yirei Mushleim, something along those lines. So the story goes that Rav Aaron Kotler at some point heard this, what he said, and was influenced and was moved by these words, and these words to some nekuda, some degree, were influential in his dream of establishing the Lakewood Yeshiva.
Yes, 40 years later.
And that was, and we can't appreciate it today. It's probably literally impossible to appreciate the concept of learning, sitting and learning Torah. It was like beyond bizarre. And today we take it for granted, Baruch Hashem, the whole idea. Look at this.
Yeah, yes, he knows this whole family. The Nolmans, right?
I know, yeah.
The Nolmans.
I know them very well.
All right, so this is an important point. Maybe let's do one pasuk because it's getting late.
Yeah.
Just maybe we start. And this is probably a very important pasuk. Pasuk test. Pasuk test says, everybody's one more. Yoimam yitzad Hashem chastoy uvalayla shiroi imi, with me, tefila lekel chayoi. It's a very hard pasuk. Let's see the mitzudos of it first, just to get basic translation. Pasuk test. Yoimam yitzade uvayamim harishonim kasher halachti el beis Hashem. In the early days, in the beginning of my life, when I went to the beis Hashem, to the beis medrash, hinei, by yoim by day, tziva Hashem chastoy olai v'halachti betach. When I went with security. Hashem commanded His kindness. In this context, it means I have nothing to worry about. Uvalayla bamoloin. At night, when I came to rest in my journey, it sounds more like it's part of the Aliyah L'Regel. When I would travel, this is a continuation of the previous pasuk, describing that we are recalling the good old days of the Aliyah L'Regel. And when we traveled with security. There was no danger on the road. We had nothing to worry about when we traveled, and we stopped over at night. It was pleasant. We davened Ma'arif. We had a shir. We gave shira to Hashem for His protection in our journey. Uvalayla bamoloin hoya imi shira usefilo laHashem hashoimer chayai. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk tests, and really goes into the next pasuk. Let's just read this part of the pasuk. Yavam yitzav Hashem chasto yavoy ha'or shel geula. So he learns over here something entirely different. According to Rashi, we're changing the focus. The focus here is a bakasha for Mashiach to come. It's not. He's not recalling. It's not an historical description of what happened in the past. But instead,
consistent with what he said in the very beginning about the Malchus.
Of the Golas. We're describing the Dalet Malchios, and we are now yearning for Mashiach to come, the Geula to come. Yoimam Yitzav Hashem Chasto, Yovoy Ha'or Shel Geula. May Yomam is a metaphor for Geula. May Hashem command, may it be His desire that Hashem wants to bring the geula in with Hashem's kindness. The yitzara Hashem chastoy lanu, may Hashem command the geula shall arrive over laila, but during now, in the meantime, until Mashiach will come, until we will merit this geula, now, currently, when we are in galus, and laila is a metaphor for galus, b'choshech hagalus v'atzara, shiroyu imi, tehei chani yosoy b'soychenu, may His divine presence be with us. What is? How do you see that? So he says over here a novel translation for the word shiro. It doesn't mean song, as the Mitzudas David suggested, a song. When we come at night to Motel 6, okay, we're going to have a min for Ma'ariv and we're going to sing Hashem's praises. That's not what it means according to Rashi. Shiro means His dwelling. He translates shiro l'shoin chanoyah. They encamped. What is the Aramaic translation of the word vayichan? Ushira. It means to reside, to rest. How do I know this? The pshat. V'zoy lamalti mitoch masores hagadoyla shechibur ezeh im vayihi shiro chamisho v'olef ba'alfa besa shel shtei tevois hachalukin bepisroinan. Now, over here, he's saying some fancy words. He's referring over here to the Misori Gedolah. We mentioned many times that this is no longer printed. This is no longer printed anymore in our Mikros Gedolahs. We have to look at the old Mikros Gedolahs that we have on the page called the Misori Gedolah and the Misori Ketana. And this was something which was a technique that was used to make sure that there are no printer mistakes. Every time you have a word, the word is like a mathematical analysis. Every word is matched up with that same, just checked off against how many times that word appears in Tanakh. You have a word, how many times is that same word used in Tanakh in this form? How many times is that word spelled with a vav, without a vav, with yud, without a yud? And there was a very racking concordance. So this appears, it's no longer in print anymore. On all of the new editions of the Mikros Gedolos, you will not see this. Mm-hmm. You have to buy it separately. People have done, I saw it recently printed, a whole volume on the Misora Gedolah, with a whole incredible piece of work, which actually that would be very kedai to get it just to see this pasuk over here, to see what Rashi over here says. And Rashi over here says in the Misora Gedolah, on this word Shiro, it is analyzed against every other time in Tanakh where this same word appears. And it appears in Sefer Melachim, Melachim Aleph, Perakei Pasuk Yud Beis. And there it says the word Vayehi Shiro Chamishova Aleph. And in that pasuk, the word shiro means to encamp. Their camp was 1,005.
I want to suggest there's a word shayara, which means a caravan.
Right. That's what he's saying.
Yeah,
it's related.
Stops and camps on its journey.
Correct.
So,
It encamped. Vayichan Shom Yisrael, a Shayora. So he's saying here that there you are correct. There, that's part of the Misora Gedolah. That's this is over my head. But he's quoting here a difficult word. Uvalayla Shiro Imi. What does this strange expression mean? The Mitzudas David had no problem with this. It says it means a song. A song. Imi is not, it doesn't really fit well into the context. The Mitzvah David says that we're journeying, we're going on a trip. And during the day, Hashem has commanded His kindness to guard me. And we have security, we have a wonderful coach bus, we have air conditioning, we have all the amenities of life. When we stop over at the hotel, we stop over, we stay over at night in the Waldorf. And we have the best food, and we have entertainment. We have the Shiro is Imi. Very simple. Look again at the Mitzudos Tzion. The Mitzudos Tzion, he says, Shiro Miloshon Shir, a song. Rashi, no way, Jose. That's not what it means here in this passage. The word Shiro, Loshon of a Shayara, like Michal said, a Shayara. The Shechina is Shoyre. It comes to rest. It's an unusual use of the word. And the way that we know is because of the Misora Gedolah. The Misora Gedolah matches up words in Tanakh, puts them together, and he puts this word Shiro together with the Pasuk Sefer Melachim. And there,
you have it continually in Gemara Gittin, which Shayoros Mitzuyos, what you have to say, the Fonenechta is Shayoros Mitzuyos Shalom. It uses it constantly in the Gemara.
Say it again.
Well, Shayoros Mitzuyos.
Okay, someone. The Shayoros. It's an Aramaic word. What is the Targum? The Targum says, like Mitzudos. The Targum, Uvelelia, Tush Bachte, praise, song. Okay, the Targum here is learning like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos means. The Targum on Kisuvim is not the last word. The Targum on Sifrei Kisuvim does not carry the weight, nothing near the weight of Targum Unkelis or Targum Yonason Ben Uziel. This is a translation. There is no real Targum on Kisuvim, on Tehillim. Who wrote this? It's not so clear who wrote this Targum. It doesn't. The Mefarshim on Kisuvim don't really acknowledge it. It's really, I don't even know when it was written and if they even saw it. The Targum on Kisuvim is not a heavyweight commentator. Okay, so it also maybe depends on the Sefer Chazal, because it says Beferush in the Gemara there is no Targum on Kisuvim. Because if there would be Targum on Kisuvim, it would reveal when is the Ketz Hayamin. So although we do have on the page a Targum, an Aramaic translation, it needs a little bit of research, who wrote this, when it was written, and if the Rishonim, Rashi, even considered looking and seeing what it says.
But what you just said about the Targum revealing the Ketz, that was with Yonas and Ben Uziel, not the Targum.
Right, that's why Hashem said there shall be no Targum, Yonas and Ben Uziel on all of Kisuvim. We once spoke about this.
Right.
Why? There's only one Pasuk that would reveal the Ketz Hayamin.
Right.
So everyone has to suffer because of one Pasuk in Sefer Daniel? So the answer is, it's a revelation that it's not really just one Pasuk. All of Kisuvim is a revelation of Yemos HaMashiach. That one pasuk in Sefer Daniel, Takel, that one pasuk is just an intense pasuk that reveals the Ketz Hayamin. But the truth is, this is what we said many times, what is the difference between Sifrei Nevi'im and Sifrei Kisuvim? Sifrei Nevi'im is the past. Although it's prophecy, the prophecy is telling you what's going to be in the future. Yes, that's true, but it's not being written from the perspective of the future. It's being written from the perspective of the past, looking into the future. That's okay for us. Kisuvim, all of Sifrei Kisuvim is written from the perspective of already being in the future. You're already there. You've already gone to a time machine, you're living in the future, and you're talking about what's going on right now. So as far as revealing what it says in all of Kisuvim, it would be a revelation of what's going to happen, which we're not yet ready for. We only are worthy of Nevuah, which is, or even not worthy of, is to anticipate, to get a glimpse from today, the present, of what's going to be in the future. It's where you stand. It's when you're standing in the past or the present, looking into the future with a vision, that's okay. That's called prophecy. But if you're standing already in the future and you're looking back and you're telling us about the past, that's too much. That the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't want people to talk like that. Unkelis Targum Yonason Ben Uziel did just that. We would have done just that because that's what Kisuvim is. And if you're going to decipher Kisuvim by talking backwards, you're going to reveal too much that should not be revealed. And even though we only emphasize the one pasuk in Sefer Daniel, the truth is it really affects all of Kisuvim is in that category. Over here, you learn the Targum and the Mitzvah saying it means a song. Rashi over here says, no, this pasuk is the Bakasha for Mashiach. May Hashem command that the Gula shall come with Chesed. Uvalayla, and in the meantime, until Mashiach comes, we make a request, Shiro Imi, may His divine presence rest together with me. Just because Mashiach is not here does not mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not rest His Shechina with Klal Yisrael in Golos. And he says, that's what it means. And how do I know what it means? It means Lashon Shira. the Shechina should rest in Golus. Zolamati mitoch mesoires hagidoylo. Okay, from the mesoires hagidol that they have, the editor has deleted from the text, from the side of the page. And shchu shechibur zeh, the one that wrote the mesoires hagidoylo, has connected this word here in Tehillim with what it says in Sefer Melachim. And there in Sefer Melachim, we have to read that possibly maybe next time. Shechibur zeh in vayhi shiro chamisha olaf. And in that context, believe me, we'll do it next week. It means there. It means to reside. There, in that section, it's called. There are different sections to the Mesora Gidoyla, and there it's in the Aleph base of the two Tevas Hachalukim Bepisron. We have to see what that means exactly. So we're on the bottom of the Mincha Shai. The Mincha Shai, he elaborates upon this a little bit more. We'll do next week. We'll do the Mincha Shai next time. However, he does acknowledge that the Medrash does interpret this to mean a song. We remember the one mitzvah we were given. Blood. Vadam dam Pesach. And dam mila, you gave us one mitzvah, bayoim, be'erva Pesach, that was the carbon Pesach, ushmar nu, and we guarded it. Uva laila, and in the evening, ge'altonu, you redeemed us. And here's the word shir. Visharnu lefonecha es ha-halel, we sang halel the night of Pesach. Okay, the night of Pesach, we sang halel. The achshav, and now, harbe mitzvahs ani shomeres, ve'ein ato go. Aleni, you don't redeem us. V'alzos, Oimeres, I complain to you in the next pasuk. So in other words, what he's saying over here, is that this pasuk Yoimam refers to the Shechita Sapesach. Okay, the
recording in progress.
Okay, the internet is going in and out the whole day here. I don't know why.
It's a sort of Kal Vachomer, although I don't know that it's a one.
Right. So it's a claim. Yoimam Yitzav Hashem, the Medrash says, refers to the Shechita Sapesach that took place by day. Yitzav Hashem Chasto, his kindness was, he gave us a mitzvah. He gave us a mitzvah to slaughter the Korban Pesach. Uva Laila, Chatzos Laila, was the moment of Makas Bechoris. And that moment, Paru came out of his pajamas, and he said to Klal Yisrael, Tzei, leave Egypt, get out of here. Shiro Imoy, and when he told us, get out of here, immediately Klal Yisrael, Lel Pesach, sang the Shira. This medrash is telling us the makar for what we do the night of Pesach, to sing, to say halal. Okay, this is a big topic, a hot topic, the night of Pesach. How many times do you say halal Pesach night? You say something, well, you say something at the Seder, you recite halal, that's part of the 15, the simonim, is halal. We break it up in two parts. Half of halal is before Shulchan Aruch, and the other half is after Shulchan Aruch. In shul, do you say halal? Oh, big controversy, right? Do you say Halal in the Beis HaKnesses? Do you say it with a bracha? Do you say it after davening is over? Do you say it before you recite Kadesh Sholem? There are many minhagim in Klal Yisrael. A lot of people have gotten into big fights over this. But you say Halal, what's the makar? What's the makar to sing Shira at night? This pasuk is the makar. This pasuk is telling you, Yoimam Yitzava Hashem Chasoy, the Shechita Pesach is Chatzois Hayoim, Uva Laila, and Leil Pesach, the Zman of Achilas Pesach, is the moment of Shiro, the song of Hashem Imi. And now, David HaMelech is saying, therefore, how could it be HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When we were in Egypt and we were on the 49th level of Tumah, all we did was one mitzvah, one simple mitzvah, Shechita Pesach. And from that one mitzvah, we were zoiche to geula, and we were saying shira on the geula. Now we live, we have 613 mitzvahs, and we do them all. Okay, even though we don't do them all because we have a Beis HaMikdash, but we do as much as we can do. We do quite a bit, and that we do not do u'neshalma fanim sefaseinu. And yet, ein kol v'in koshev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now redeeming us. We're stuck in gold 21,152 years. How could it possibly be? Something doesn't make sense. Therefore, tefila lekel chayoi, I have to pray to you, Hashem, and make a demand that you redeem us. To be continued, Mir Hashem, next week. Okay, take a short break. We'll do some chumash, some ideas on chumash. Not going to talk for 4 hours with Rabbi Malevsky, but we'll try to say over a few verlof in a few moments.